Set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
All troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main jet.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the bay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 185. Wait, did I change the number?
I got it. Yeah, it's 185. You're good.
Okay, cool. Okay,
I got good. You back, Lou.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah. Somebody does. This is August 4th, 2019, Sunday night. That voice you heard there is Eric. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, except not knowing what day it is and what episode we're on.
But, well, yeah, that happens when you get old.
I was panicking because I was putting together show notes for Random Chatter at the last minute, and I wasn't sure. I was like, I didn't even do these notes. Eric did these notes. Eric's on top of it.
I did these, but you know what? I had the same problem with Echo Base as you're having with Random Chatter. There is just no news this week.
I know.
At all. Like, really no news. Like, I had to scrape the bottom of the barrel, and I came up with exactly one thing, and it's pretty much exactly what everybody expected the case to be anyway. So,
yeah.
It would be the equivalent of saying, something along the lines of Daisy Ridley in an interview stated that she enjoys playing Rey in Star Wars. Like it's completely
right.
Just, yeah.
Well, we're a couple of weeks ahead of D23, so nothing big is going to come out until that. So
that's true. You know,
that's kind of where we're at. Tim is out tonight. So
he's out doing what?
I don't know.
Drinking. Did he run out of wine at home? Is that what
he may have? He had to go out and get more wine.
Yeah.
He's down in the wine cellar, and I think the door closed and he's locked down there, I think.
Oh. I didn't know Echo Base had a wine cellar.
Yeah. Pretty extensively stocked one too.
Oh, that explains a lot.
At least in Tim's area of the base, because he's always got wine in his hand, so we'll see.
Hmm.
But yeah, so according to network policy, everything that goes wrong tonight is his fault.
That is very, very true. Yeah, as pointed out
Tim's fault.
In our Discord server earlier today, I believe it was Josh pointed that out. So
yes, exactly. He did. I saw that.
Yes.
Well, speaking of housekeeping here, go through the general stuff here in the beginning. If anybody wants to get a hold of us, the best way to email all the hosts is just echobase@randomchatter.com. You can find us on various social media outlets. Some of us are more active than others. Tim, for example, is much more active than Eric and I, but Instagram and Twitter. On Twitter, you can find us at Force Chatter. You can find me at Lou Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E. You can find Tim at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two N's. And Eric, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. And you know, I logged into Facebook today for the first time in
really
probably 2 years, and I immediately regretted it. Well, we had two more mass shootings this weekend, so of course it was nothing but political stuff. And you know, I have feelings on various different political things, but typically when I want to get into Facebook, it's because I want to see how people are doing, and I want to see, you know, catch up on things. And you know,
I use Facebook these days more for just keeping in touch with people that I don't see on a daily basis or groups that I'm involved with. But
that's the thing. I need to start getting into the groups and the pages and stuff like that. We are going to be bringing back our Random Chatter Facebook page soon.
Nice.
We're just,
nice.
You know, getting the details ironed out as far as who's going to manage it and making sure that
we have
someone
who's able to. Who'd you ask to do that?
Well, that's the thing. We haven't yet.
Okay.
As soon as we assign someone, I'm hitting the button and it's going live, but we are heading back to Facebook. You know, it was nice to kind of go through and scroll and, you know, hey, who do I have friended here? And saw some various people that we've met from conventions and stuff. Marcus Doering from the 501st, saw him and some of his posts, and he had pictures from us at Celebration Anaheim back in 2015. That was very cool.
Yep.
And so it was, you know, a little bit of a walk down memory lane, but nice. Yeah, we are coming back to Facebook.
Very good. As you mentioned a minute ago, Discord, we are very active on Discord. It's kind of our own little community away from the,
yes,
the mass social
it's
media.
Safe.
Yeah, it's our safe little corner of the internet. Anybody can join us there. It's free to join. We have how many channels do we have now from the free area, Eric?
I don't know. I need to. Yeah. Well, the free area, we have always maintained individual channels for each of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So is not going to change. And we also have a main lobby where people can just kind of hang out and chit chat. We've got memes and GIFs and channels for those. We have an announcements channel. But no matter what we do in the section that we've created for the people who help donate and support the network through Patreon, the main part of Discord, we are always going to have channels set aside for each of the different shows on the network.
Mm. And it's nice because if you listen to something and you want more clarification, or you just think we're, you know, hey, that was a great point, or that was a really bad point, you know, let us know. You can get on there and tell us what you thought about that.
That's the thing. You know, we keep getting people saying, oh, I'm listening to you in the car and I keep talking back to the radio because I want to interject something. Well, here's your chance. Hop into exactly. Discord and tell us what it was you were shouting back at your car radio. That's what we want to hear.
Exactly. If you want to get access to the rest of Discord, you can support us on Patreon. Just $1 a month gets you into the rest of Discord. We have a bunch of other levels beyond that $1 a month. Mm-hmm. But I think the $1 a month is probably the most popular one that we have right now for everybody to support us. And it gets you into probably way more channels than we can keep up with. So it's a great place to be and hang out and talk about other stuff besides the shows, you know, what you're doing and, you know, on the side, if it's photography, if it's, you know, what kind of food you're eating, you know, all kinds of stuff. We have channels in there for, you know, basically everything you do in your daily lives.
Well, you know, it's especially good for Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Because we have several different Star Wars channels. So we example, right now, in the books, how do we have it labeled now? Books and comics channel under the Star Wars category. You could talk about Thrawn treason.
That's why I'm not there, because I'm not done with it yet.
Well, it's spoiler free now, and that's another good point. We have a separate channel for spoilers and speculation. So if people want to talk about the Thrawn novel and we don't have a spoiler channel for it, we will create a. In fact, you know what? I'm going to do that right now while we're talking. I'm going to go in here to spoilers and speculation. And let's see, Thrawn treason, boom, spoiler channel created right there on the spot, live on Echo Base. So people nice. Want to talk about Thrawn treason and actually discuss the content of the book now have a place where you can go and do it and not have to worry about upsetting, you know, any of your friends or coworkers or whatever. Again, yeah, safe haven.
Because it's great to discuss the stuff, but you don't want to jump in too soon before you're done with things. And I'm rereading the other two Thrawn books first. So
I got about a
week or two to get there.
I couldn't do that. I had to jump right in.
I'm disciplined. I finished Plagueis last week again for a reread. And I started the first Thrawn book before Thrawn. The weekend. So Thursday. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I like the other two, but I'm really enjoying this one so far.
Cool. I'm looking forward to getting to it. Hopefully another week or so I'll be there. So
cool.
And last but not least, we do have a way for you to buy stuff to support the network. We have a TeePublic site now. If you go to randomchatter.com/store, you can get there and check out t-shirts and stickers and coffee mugs and hopefully more stuff pretty soon too. So nice stuff too. I got my Random Chatter shirt a couple weeks ago, and
they are nice.
They are very nice quality.
They turned out better than I expected they would. I was a little on the fence. I'm like, oh, you know, we should test this out first. I don't know how good the quality is. They're really good quality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing worse than getting a thin t-shirt and just like, eh.
I know.
No, these are nice.
We had that happen at the Celebration store. I mean, we were just talking about Anaheim 2015. I remember you and I going through the store and looking at some of the t-shirt designs, and they were really cool. And the second we picked them up and touched them, we're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's like paper. Thin, and they're $25 a piece. Yep. No,
paying for a good quality shirt, but
these are genuine. When I took mine out of the packaging and I felt it, my immediate thought was, I want to try this on right now. And when I tried it on, I know I sound like a sales pitch. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. As soon as I put it on, I said, you know what? I want to order a few more of these. Because I can actually wear them to work.
Premium right shirt or the regular shirt?
I just got the regular shirt. I was going to get the premium shirt, but they had that sale on. And, you know, at the time I was in between the jobs, I hadn't gotten my first paycheck yet. And I thought, well, you know, the sale is really good though. And they do have sales quite a bit. So it brought the price down to, I think it was like 35% off or something. So it brought it down to $13. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll go ahead and just get the baseline one. Because again, I want to see what our audience is getting.
Right.
So that we are informed about what other people are going to think. And I'm thrilled I'd buy another one in a heartbeat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive right into this news because we got a lot of stuff to cover. Let's just, yes, we're already wasting time. Well, as we said, there is very little coming out now with
there's exactly with one piece of news. We have two things in the show notes because one is just something that I threw in to kind of speculate about. But yeah, there's exactly
and I think it's good
one
speculation thing. Too. I mean, we'll have the answer to those questions in a couple of weeks. But yeah. First up, you know, Disney did announce their opening day lineup for Disney Plus.
Yes.
And was there anything that you were, I mean, any big surprises here? Were you shocked or?
No.
Okay.
No, I take that back. There's one thing.
Okay.
There's one thing. So here's the lineup. I'm going to read everything in the lineup because we have an hour to kill and we have no news.
Read it really. Spell it.
I was going to say it has all the Star Wars movies except Solo and The Last Jedi. But instead, we're going to say it has Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Should I put the punctuation? Star Wars : Episode 3, M-, The Revenge of the Sith.
Okay, no, those were the prequels, right? Those are the three.
Those were, in fact, the what is commonly known as the prequel trilogy of Star Wars series of Skywalker saga films. We're already losing listeners here.
Stretch that out any further. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So episode 4, 5, and 6 from the original trilogy and only episode 7 from the sequel trilogy. It will have Rogue One. It will not have Solo. So we're missing Solo and The Last Jedi. Not entirely a big surprise because those are still under license. Mm. I think Netflix, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so that has to run out first.
You can still see them on Netflix, yep.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get them really quick. We're going to get them in 2020. It's not like you're going to have to wait long.
I mean, as soon as those run out, they'll be on Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, screaming fast.
So there was one surprise, though, and that was with the television shows. So obviously we're getting The Mandalorian opening day. That's something that they've been hyping. We are going to get The Clone Wars.
Okay, makes sense. And
now I don't know if we're getting Clone Wars. We are getting the Clone Wars. So I don't know about the I always mispronounce his name and forget what his name is, but not the guy that did the Samurai Jack stuff. So not the short that came out initially. Remember on Cartoon Network they had the little 5-minute shorts for a while. And then in the second season they did like 20-minute episodes and it was just those two seasons.
Yep.
And that led into episode 3. And then after that, they launched the ongoing series.
Okay.
So this was actual, like, traditional cell animation, not the CG stuff. I don't know if we're getting those. And I also don't know if we're getting the theatrical release for the Clone Wars. We are getting Rebels. But what is not listed on the official press release is Resistance. That's the surprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's a surprise, but it's also not a surprise. When I thought about it, I'm like, well, I mean, The Mandalorian is a show built for Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. You know, Rebels is a finished series that is going to be shown now on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. But Rebels is being shown on another network. Resistance. I said it again. is being shown on another network, you know, actively. So,
but are we not getting Resistance on like the second season of Resistance? Is that not going to be on Disney Plus? Because here's the thing: the channel that it's on is one of the Disney channels. Mm-hmm. So those shows are also coming to Disney Plus. Yeah. The entire slate, pretty much.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, there are. Because
I was wondering about that with contracts of Disney Plus being different than something on the Disney Network.
I don't know. Some of the shows are crossing over. There's one show that's not that my son watches called Parker Plays, and I don't know why that's not crossing over. So yeah, I don't I don't know how that's all set up because it's all in-house. They own it. They can do whatever they want.
They do own it, but it's still different companies, right? I mean, Disney Animation is separate from Disney Plus, which is separate from Disney Network stuff. Because now, don't they have more than one station or channel on cable on Disney?
Oh, yeah. They've got Disney Junior. They've got, I should look this up in advance.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we can spot, but yeah.
What's the Disney XD? That's the one. That's the one that does Resistance is on.
Resistance is on, right.
Yeah, but a lot of those are coming over.
Okay.
So I'm surprised that this one isn't. I don't know. It's going to come over eventually. Maybe just not yet. Who knows?
Yeah, I imagine. I'm just kind of glancing through some of the stuff on Wikipedia about what networks they own and stuff. It's a ton of stuff. So,
but even though Lucasfilm is a different company, Lucasfilm has licensed it out to Disney. So it's still like Disney.
It's a Disney property, but if they have a contract within their own company for showing this on Disney XD.
But they can terminate it at will because it's within their own company. Like there's no... They're not going to sue themselves. Yeah, no,
I
understand
that, but I mean, would they want to though? I mean, if there's people that are, you know, working for Disney XD that are, you know, say your compensation package is tied to how well your network performs, and they pull the rug off from underneath you and take a show away from you. I mean,
don't know.
New shows are still going to air on Disney XD, not on Disney Plus, right?
You know, they haven't been clear about what's going to happen with the schedule for Resistance. That's a good point. But I would imagine they'd double dip. They'd hit both of them at once because you get the cable subscribers who already effectively are paying for the Disney Channel package.
Right.
So they're getting revenue that way. But then you've got the people who are paying for the Disney Plus streaming, which is additional revenue. So either way, they win. There's no real loss there.
Right, unless there's some kind of a clause in the contract for the cable companies that says we're getting Disney XD exclusive content. And now if you're going to take it away from us and give it also to a streaming service that's going to compete with us, they wouldn't be happy about that. I don't know.
That's possible.
I'm sure there's stuff that lawyers will talk about that we don't even have a clue on about when it comes to this kind of stuff and who has the rights and who can show the stuff and who can't. But yeah. Needless to say, I think eventually all this stuff will be on Disney streaming, Disney Plus.
Yeah, let's hope so. I don't know. I would like to see everything in one spot, but if we have to keep getting Resistance on Disney XD, I kind of feel like even
look at the stuff on Marvel, how they're splitting up stuff between Disney Plus and Hulu. You know, you're seeing a lot of that still, and granted they're owned by the same company still. Disney owns Disney Plus and most of Hulu.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
it's one of these things where we're still not going to have one place to buy all this stuff. You're going to have to buy this service, and that's what's pissing me off the most.
Yeah. I think we will probably get more clarification on that soon. In fact, we might hear something about Resistance at D23.
Yeah, I think good possibility of that. So August 23rd and 25th, or August 23rd through the 25th will be Disney D23. And of course they're not really announcing what is going on there as far as details, but we are going to speculate on that right now and pad out the rest of our show.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing that we know that has been announced from way back was that they will have a panel there covering, or I say a panel, they will have a presentation covering The Mandalorian, because that was announced previously back when they had said The Mandalorian is going to be at D23, episode nine is going to be at San Diego Comic-Con. Then they kind of pulled the Comic-Con stuff. So we know The Mandalorian is going to be there. That's a given.
Yep.
And I would say that it's a pretty strong expectation that they are going to be talking about episode nine, because this is the last venue they have before the film's release. And we still don't have a trailer. So as far as what we can expect from D23, I think it's safe to say we will probably get the episode nine trailer. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a good chance. I mean, why else would they be waiting for doing this? And we had the one trailer at Celebration.
Yeah.
and now we're going to get
the teaser
more, you know. Yeah. I don't see why they would wait any longer.
I won't give any spoilers, promise. But I am fascinated with trying to figure out what they are going to put in the trailer. So a teaser is basically more of a montage of different little stingers here and there to kind of get you emotionally worked up, whereas traditionally a trailer is supposed to introduce something about the story.
Right. Yeah. Going to give you a little bit of access to the plot.
Yeah.
You know, at least what leads into the plot.
There's very little they would be safe in including in the trailer.
Well, I mean, every trailer, and some people consider trailers spoilers, mm-hmm. even though it's officially announced content. And I stop watching trailers with the second trailer being released. I don't watch the TV spots because I feel they get too spoilery.
Yeah, stop with the TV spots.
And the closer you get to the release date, the more spoilery they become. But I don't have any spoilers. I haven't been searching out things like you have, apparently.
They kind of get delivered to me a little bit. Like, it's not like to you. I will say this. I know certain sections to stay away from, and I'm staying away from them. I will say that it bit me on episode 7 because I was expecting there's going to be, there's going to be a I am your father moment, and Abrams is going to keep that under wraps. So everything that's been leaked so far is safe. Well, I can tell you that the big moment, there is a big moment in episode 9, and I kind of know what surrounds it, and I'm intentionally staying very far away from it.
Okay.
Cool. And everything else, I'm staying just with very vague sorts of things.
But I mean, you know, the people that make these trailers, they do a good job normally keeping us in the dark on the big stuff going on. And there's been a few exceptions over the years, and, you know, people know some of the ones I've been pissed off about. But, I think that we will get a good trailer that it's going to give you more of an emotional feel to it than what we're going to get storyline wise. You know what I mean? I think it's not going to be snippets like a teaser is, but we're going to get, you know, the heavy emotional feel that this is coming to an end, and that's what they're going to play on. That's my personal feeling.
They are going to introduce a lot of questions, which is good. I think that that's the best thing they can do. It's going to get the fans ramped up. It's going to get the fans curious. It's going to be a lot of talk. It's also going to set the bar really high. And I'm a little worried because expectations going into this, it's the last one. I kind of hope that people expect it's going to suck, based on how they feel about episode 8, because then it's automatically going to exceed their expectations.
Right, right. Go in thinking the worst and you're going to come out with a better feeling than you had.
Exactly.
I'll say this. I am really worried about how this movie is going to be perceived after the fact.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. So we are going to have to create not just a new channel in Discord, we're going to have to create a new group of channels in Discord. We are going to have Josh and David and Erasure and maybe Brax. We are going to have them moderate it, because it's just going to be just a nonstop stream of conversations for about 6 months at least. And you won't even be able to read without the stuff scrolling past your eyes too fast. Like, it's just, it's going to be.
Yeah.
You thought episode 8 was divisive. This is, if they do it well enough so that people accept it, will be okay. But the concepts, the very concepts of where they're going with it, some people are going to love it and it's going to feel very fulfilling. And there are going to be some people who consider themselves purists who are going to feel that it's not even that it retcons anything, but that it, in trying to wrap up everything, people say, oh, we wanted to touch back on the prequels and on the original trilogy and stuff. Well, people are going to get what they're asking for, I think, but then they're going to complain about how it was done.
we've already seen that. I mean, they complained about
not like
seven
this.
Being, you know, too close to what the original series was, and then eight was too far away. It's like, come on, just
seven
know.
Didn't reference the original series as much as it paid homage to it. And there were a lot of plot structures that were similar. You've got the the parentless child on a desert planet, and then you've got the droid with the stolen plans, and you've got this, and got like, it's not, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about direct ties to direct story things. I'm talking about people. Some people are going to be pissed. I think most people are going to like it. I've got confidence in this. I think it's going to be really good. But the people who are pissed off are going to rise up in a way we haven't even seen before.
Real. Okay. Now, are you saying kind of midichlorian pissed, or?
I'm saying midichlorian pissed. I'm saying it's going to make the midichlorians seem microscopic compared to.
Wow. That's a big statement.
Well, it's also, I thought, a clever pun, but I guess if I have to point that out, it kind of takes the thunder away from the microscopic,
because
seriously though, like, and the midichlorians weren't what episode one was about, right? So if you hate it that much, just cough really loud when that line comes up in the movie, and you can just keep going as if it never happened. This is like thematic. This is the story of the movie, and some of the ways in which it wraps up everything that we have seen so far. So we're talking the relevance to the midichlorians were not that big in episode one. Sorry. I know there are some pro midichlorian people out there, and for them, it's an important aspect of Star Wars. But from a storytelling point of view, it was not an important nor large part of the storytelling of episode one. It was a single throwaway line. It had relevance. It had some meaning to it, but it wasn't like, if you took that line out, the movie doesn't change.
No, but what it did for a lot of people was it diminished the mythic quality of the story in Star Wars, and that's what I think.
Absolutely. It reaches outside of the actual film. But if you look at just the way episode one tells the story of episode one, it's a throwaway line. If you take it out, the movie's still the same. If you leave it in, the movie's still the same. Now, what pisses people off are the ramifications once they take that and they start thinking about how it affects things on a larger scale outside the movie. So what I'm saying is episode nine is not going to be something where you can just hit your mute button for 5 seconds and then proceed as if nothing happened. This is something where they are going to show you how things affect all of the other movies.
Okay. Well, you piqued my curiosity. It's going to be big. I'll say that.
Again, I've got confidence. I think most people will like it. I think some people will not like it. Some people may even be significantly annoyed by it. But the haters for episode nine are going to be on a level like we have never seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Midichlorians, Jar Jar, episode eight. Yeah, nothing compared to this.
Oh, you're not painting a good picture, Eric.
The movie's great. I'm talking about the haters. I'm not talking about the movie.
No, I know. But you're not painting a good picture of how the environment's going to be after that movie comes out.
That's okay, because we don't need Twitter. People can come to Discord.
That's right.
It's safe here. We have a safe environment, a welcoming, nurturing environment.
So how much are they going to be playing up episode nine at D23? Is this going to be the big thing they're going to have? Are they going to have?
No, I think they're going to wait and show the trailer at the Super Bowl.
That'll be after the movie comes out.
Well, yeah, but they've done it before, right? Bunch the trailer at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, no.
But that makes the Super Bowl better when we get a Star Wars trailer.
No, it was Monday Night Football.
Whatever. It's the whole football thing with the goalies and you run around the bases and all that. Yeah, the sports thingy.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I think that episode, see, we talked about this before. They now have a lot to do at D23, but D23 also has to cover the Marvel stuff, and it has to cover the traditional Disney stuff and the Disney films, and it's got to cover the Disney TV shows. Like, this is starting to become a bit of a flood of information. And keep in mind, D23 a few years back didn't really cover Marvel and didn't really cover Star Wars. And so D23 is starting to grow really fast. Now, SDCC did cover a lot of the Marvel stuff, so maybe the Marvel presence won't be quite as big at D23. But
still, they may have 3 days to do it in. And I mean, Comic-Con does 3 or 4 days worth of stuff and does a lot more broader range of stuff than just Star Wars and just Disney stuff.
But the scale of that convention is larger.
True, true.
Bigger venue, more people, more concurrent panels going on at once. My understanding is D23, basically, there's one hall.
Oh, okay.
There's different exhibit floors, and there are smaller things going on.
But there's not four panels at once at, 10 a.m. on Tuesday.
Right. That's my understanding. Again, I've never been there. We should probably talk to somebody who has, because we're just kind of pulling stuff out of our butts here. But to answer your question, I think that the two most prominent things are going to be The Mandalorian, because it's the first thing chronologically that's coming up, and it's going to be the launch of their streaming service. And they are heavily invested in that. And by they, I don't just mean Disney, I mean Lucasfilm as well. And then obviously, I think Episode 9, because it's the last chance for this. So I think we'll get other things, and we'll talk about those in a minute here. But I think those are going to be the two biggest things. Mm-hmm. I think we'll definitely get a trailer for Episode 9, but what else could we be getting in regards to Episode 9? Probably Abrams will be there. He'll talk a little bit about, he'll do the little, hey, it was a lot of fun and we worked hard, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they'll do the panel. He'll come out and talk, and he'll bring out, Daisy Ridley and, the rest of the cast one at a time, and they'll all talk. Probably get some behind the scenes stuff, maybe.
I hope so. Now, when they come out and talk, they've got video screens behind them on the walls typically. So I imagine there'll be a lot of stills, a lot of photos.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So we'll probably get some of those, but, I don't know if they do the trailer, will they also do a sizzle reel or behind the scenes footage or a clip? Now, some people, I know Erasure in our Discord server seems adamant that the trailer effectively will be a sizzle reel. So it'll be clips interspersed with people talking about their experience on set and filming and things like that. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll get that, but I think they're going to have a real official trailer number 2 or, non-teaser trailer. Because, they got to be able to play that in front of movies going forward as we get closer to the movie release. And they can't play a sizzle reel with an actor talking about their experience on set.
They can for us. They can for the fans, but they can't not in front of the movie. Mainstream audience.
Right.
Yeah. So sizzle reel, what do you think? Do you think we'll get both?
I think we'll see something. I don't know if it'll be as long as sizzle reels usually are. Mm-hmm. Usually they're a few minutes long, but I don't know. I'd like to see some behind the scenes stuff. I'd like to see some anecdotes from the sets. That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is late August. We've got September, October, November, and then the movie comes out in mid-December, right? So 3.5 mm-hmm. months. I predict that if we do not get another trailer, then we may get a sizzle reel here. Traditionally, we've always gotten one teaser and two full-length trailers.
Right.
So far we have a teaser. This would be trailer A. Are we even going to get a trailer B?
That's a good question. We're getting pretty tight towards the movie release.
Yeah.
Maybe we just get trailer A and then TV spots.
And
like you said, there's so many things going on in this movie and so many things to wrap up. They don't need to give us a ton. Best. And doing a second trailer is running the risk of giving you too much.
Yeah. Yeah, it really might be for the best that they don't give us another
trailer. I never thought I'd hear myself say, no, I don't want a trailer. No, don't give me a second trailer. Wow. That's strange.
I think that could be best for this, because really, yeah. I've been careful about my spoilers. I've gotten the gist of things, but I've tried to stay away from too many specifics. I've also opened myself up intentionally to some sources that are a little more on the fringe, hoping that maybe I'll get enough false information thrown in that'll add to the surprise of things. And I won't feel seriously though. I won't feel quite as confident knowing everything going in. So I'm taking everything with a grain of salt as opposed to taking everything as gospel. So I think that actually does help me a little bit, but even just knowing the gist of things, I don't see that there's a lot they can do in the trailers without spoiling too much. So I hope we only do get one.
Yep.
Now, the other thing we'll probably get is posters, right?
Well, they have the poster at Celebration.
Yeah, that's, but they always have a few, don't they?
There's a more, they start doing the character posters, right?
Right.
Yep. So you see those, and that makes sense. We'll get those. Now, do you think we're going to get anything beyond Mandalorian in episode 9?
Well, Mandalorian, let's talk that for a minute.
Okay. Yep.
Because at Celebration, we saw the people at Celebration, you guys, punks, got to see Mandalorian footage, but it wasn't released to everybody else. And yeah, it leaked to YouTube, but I mean, come on.
Right.
So there was a trailer and a clip and then a sizzle reel.
Right. And the clip and the sizzle reel, we didn't get to see because I wasn't in the main stage. They actually cut off the feed to the rest of the stages.
I heard mixed things about that. They cut it out to the Star Wars show stage on the main floor.
Yeah, that's where I was.
Okay. So the two satellite halls apparently did get the footage.
Oh, okay.
Allegedly. I've heard mixed things.
Which we were a little ticked about. It's like, really? If you're going to show it here, you show it to everyone.
But. Right. And I'm surprised they didn't release it online too, but I don't know. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to get either a new trailer, because that trailer really was a teaser. So we're going to get a new trailer and it's going to be released widespread. Or they are going to do a widespread release of that teaser. I think we will get some additional footage. I imagine there may even be a screening of the pilot episode.
You think?
I think maybe. For the people present, I mean, we're not going to see it.
No. That'd be cool.
They may.
That'd be a big coup if you were there, right?
Yeah. So I think we will get footage, and by we, I mean the people who aren't going. I think they're going to release it on YouTube.
Yeah, I think in this day and age, they really, I mean, even the stuff they showed at Celebration this year, they should have released online, because the stuff does go out there anyway, even though it's hard to find and it's, you know, somebody's, handheld, phone footage, but it's going to get out there anyways. Wouldn't you want it out there in the best possible format you could do?
Yeah.
So release it. It's out in the wild. Once you've shown it somewhere, I don't care how often you try to stop people from recording things, it's out. Just release it to us and let us all see it.
Yeah. I'm still bitter about the Rogue One thing. I know that was just kind of a proof of concept.
A cool thing. Yep.
But it was such a cool proof of concept.
It certainly was.
So the Cassian Andor series that's already been announced, I imagine we will get a title.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have one yet.
We don't have a date for that, right? Or even
we also
don't
have a date.
Scheduled time.
Yep.
Spring or whatever.
I think we're going to get that too.
Okay.
And I think that we are going to see a little bit of footage. I think we're going to get at least a teaser. I don't think it'll be much. I don't think it'll be as much as we got of The Mandalorian at Celebration. But I think we're going to get a little teaser. We're going to get a full title and we're going to get a date or time period.
Yeah, that would be good. Because that's so up in the air right now. Nobody knows, is it 2020? Is it early 2020? Is it late 2020?
Right.
It's been really nothing released about that. So it'd be nice to get some firm details on that show.
Well, and let's look at this from a business perspective for a moment, too. Lucasfilm is very protective of the brand of Star Wars, right?
Right.
And with the last two theatrical releases, it took a hit. Solo, there was the, I'm going to call it the bad marketing and the perceived lack of confidence due to the change of directors and it going over budget. And then the lackluster box office performance in part because of what it was up against at the time and the fact that it's a prequel. So, you know, Han survives and, you know, Chewie survives. So we'll check it out later on. Right. Then episode 8 was not well received. And then honestly, Resistance was not that well received. I think the show is fine. It takes way too long to get up and running. But once it gets up and running, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I think it's also a little younger than we expected it to be, too.
It is. And that's okay. Listen, kids need Star Wars. I would love for my son to start watching it and get hooked. So I don't know. But so the confidence in the Star Wars brand right now is really riding at the moment on the diehard fans and on people's faith in J.J. Abrams to deliver a Abrams quality product.
Yeah.
So Lucasfilm is aware of this. I think that they are going to go out of their way at D23 to try to solidify confidence in their brand. One way they can do that, especially now after announcing there's going to be a hiatus before we get new films, which some people saw as, oh, well, you know, they're hitting the reset button and they're reconsidering their strategies going forward. I think that in order to inspire confidence in the brand again, not only are we going to see quite a bit from episode 9, a good amount from Mandalorian, I think they're going to give us something substantial about the Cassian Andor series. It's important that they do that. They have to give us something other than episode 9 and The Mandalorian. They need to demonstrate to us that they have a plan.
Yeah.
That they are confident in the plan and that we should be too.
You're absolutely right, because they, you know, we know episode 9 is coming out. We know The Mandalorian is going to be here.
And then
we
what?
We don't know about anything else, right? Yep. So where are we? And, you know, if they can give us something on the Cassian Andor series to tide us over until next August when we have Celebration in Anaheim again, because you know you're going to get more details then.
Right.
And hopefully they'll have something concrete about what these other two trilogies are that they're working on, supposedly.
Well, and that goes into the next thing. I think that we are going to get something about the Benioff and Weiss trilogy. I don't think we're going to get any footage. But I think we are going to get a basic thing about what it's about. I expect there will be announcements indicating it's about Knights of the Old Republic. And I imagine...
And we're going to see that at D23, you're saying?
I predict, yeah, that at D23, they may not give us a title. In fact, I'm confident they won't give us a title. Titles with the films are kind of a big deal. We're not going to get that.
That's much closer to release.
Right. That's probably a Celebration next year thing. Maybe. Even that might be too close. But at the earliest it's going to be then, it definitely won't be before then. What we will get instead, I think, is going to be a general gist of what it's about. For example, if it's about the Old Republic, they will tell us, listen, this is about a period of time set 4,000 years before A New Hope, where we had a lot of Jedis and a lot of Sith, and the galaxy was still establishing the hyperspace routes, and this is about the conflict that goes on there. Okay, so that little paragraph-long explanation about the basic setting, I think we're going to get that, number one. Number two, I think we're probably going to get some basic concept art. And then, honestly, I think that's it for the Benioff and Weiss trilogy. I don't think we're going to get much more. But it's another thing where I feel like they kind of have to talk. The community has been talking about it for a while now. Lucasfilm kind of has to catch up with that and get in front of it a little bit.
Yeah, because there's been nothing official really talked about besides the fact that we're kind of slowing down.
Right. But the whole Star Wars fan community is convinced it's Old Republic. So they need to either say, yes, you're correct, or they need to reset our expectations and say, no, guys, listen, that's not what we're doing this time around. but it's something really cool. So keep an eye out for it. Like they need, they need to let us know whether our expectations are in sync with reality. Right.
If they're not going down that path and we think they are, the longer they let us go down that path in our minds, the worse it's going to be when they change.
Yeah. That's the problem. And again, I don't think that they are catering to the fans. I don't think that they are adapting creative work to satisfy the fans necessarily. However, from a branding and marketing point of view, they do want the fans' expectations to be in sync with what they're actually giving us. They don't want to set themselves up for failure.
Yeah.
Not saying they're going to change the story, but they may change how they market the content to us. Because that's what marketing is. It's getting people excited while, when it's done correctly, setting expectations so that the audience is knowing that they're walking into something they're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree.
So the next question is, and I really don't know about this one, are we going to get anything at all about the Rian Johnson trilogy? Maybe even just a yes, it's still going to happen.
I'd like to at least have a yes, it's still going to happen.
Yeah, Rian Johnson's been saying that. Anything.
Yeah, but yeah, nothing official.
Right.
And it's all the speculation, but again, you know, it's like, where are we going? What path are you taking?
Yeah.
They need to put up a slide like Marvel did at San Diego with, this is what we're giving you. These are the movies. These are the TV shows we're going to give you.
I'd even be okay with them calling it Phase X. Like I know they won't because it'll seem derivative, but you know, but I'm okay with it.
I would like to see that they have a plan. I think you said that a few minutes ago that, you know, I don't need to know the details. I don't need to know what the stories are about. I just need to know you guys have a plan for us that we're not going to be, you know, a year from now going, huh, still nothing about anything. You know, we're still waiting in the dark here for you guys to tell us what the next thing's going to be.
Right. And back when they were going full tilt, we got a lot of rumors about a lot of different things. For example, Josh Trank doing the Boba Fett movie. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like that might instead kind of get wrapped up into The Mandalorian. Maybe. I wonder if there are other things that we heard back then that we may get announcements about. Like there was just a lot of, hey, there's going to be this, there's going to be that, there's going to be that, and we'll get announcements soon. There was going to be an announcement in 2015 and they yanked it a couple of days previous.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't get that. And then there's been a lot of other stuff that's just been up in the air, whether it be the video games, some of which have now been canceled, or whether it's going to be, you know, the announcement of a Rian Johnson trilogy, and then people didn't like episode 8, but Lucasfilm still seems confident in Rian Johnson. I'm still confident in Rian Johnson. He's a great filmmaker.
Oh, yeah.
But I was not a big fan of episode 8, so I get it. But yeah, we need to get something from Lucasfilm. They need to step up. And I hate to use this analogy. I use it only because the feeling is similar. Okay, so don't get upset. I know that in reality, they're two very, very different things. But after you get some sort of a natural disaster or a terrorist attack or something like that, like if you look at 9/11, we're in a state of chaos. We don't know what's happening. People want the president to get on the air and make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
As Star Wars fans right now, we know what's coming between now and December. And after that, things are kind of up in the air. We need to know that there's going to be continuity. And we find security in that as fans. Again, I know that was kind of a touchy analogy, but it's a similar type of thing. At least we need Lucasfilm or Kathleen Kennedy to get up there and make an announcement saying, listen, we are moving forward. We are still going to be around.
Right. I mean, two lackluster performing movies don't make the end of the world coming, but that's what everybody's saying. So we need to make sure that we're not all following that person saying, oh my God, the end is near.
Right. Yeah. And I don't think it is. And I think a lot of Star Wars fans understand that it's not. But I feel like some of us are kind of losing patience about Lucasfilm maybe not being as clear about things. Like, there's wanting to keep things secret, and that's great. But then there's also at least announcing what the plans are. Like with Marvel, you brought that up a few minutes ago with the Phase 4. We know that there's an Eternals movie coming. We don't know anything about it. Story's still under wraps.
Right.
That's great. But we at least know that there's a project there, and it's confirmed. And so we've got a mental placeholder for that. Okay, it's coming. But a lot of the other stuff that fans have been speculating about, again, the Old Republic thing. Are we getting an Old Republic project? We want one. Lucasfilm should do one. The saga's over now. The Skywalker stuff. Oh, Benioff and Weiss, and they did Game of Thrones, which is a historical thing. So maybe that's why they got them, and maybe that's going to be Old Republic. All the puzzle pieces fit. But the entire community thinks it's going to be something. At least let us know whether or not we're correct, so that if we're not, we can drop that idea and move on. That's fine. Another thing. And again, we're getting a little towards not like we've got an idea of what we're definitely going to see, things we're probably going to see, and things we might see. And this is definitely in that final category of we might see it. I think we're going to get more news about what's coming to the streaming network as far as another live action series. And while I don't want this, I think it will be a Kenobi series.
Okay.
It's a hermit on a desert planet. Like, what? Can you come up with a less interesting Star Wars concept to tell a story about? And like, we keep talking about, oh, I don't want this to be a movie. I want it to be a TV series so we can get hours and hours and hours of content. No. If they do Kenobi, I want it to be a movie, and like a short one, like 90 minutes.
Really?
And then we can be done. I mean, what's he do? He spends all day just like sweeping the sand.
Well, the sand gets in the door. You got to get rid of it.
It gets in everything because it's sand. There's nothing going on there.
I know. All he's doing is watching Luke, which is kind of creepy in itself.
Which is also creepy. Just ask Owen.
Old guy. Yeah. But you're right. I don't think we need a series on that. I don't even think we need a movie on that, personally. I agree. With the book that we had that's not really canon anymore, but...
Well, we've got... There's the world building that happened in Solo. And so we have a lot of content there that's untapped. We've got these different criminal organizations, right? And that's compelling to me. That's interesting. I want to see what's going on with that. I want a continuation of Kira. I'd love to see a continuation of Lando from that time period. I want to know what's going on with the Black Suns, with the various different other organizations that are that crime syndicate aspect of things. What's going on? Yeah, I mean,
the criminal aspect of it seems very intriguing to me.
Now, the only thing is, Darth Maul was controlling part of that, and Darth Maul doesn't meet up with Kenobi until Rebels. So we know that if they're going to use the Kenobi series to integrate into that, we know we're not going to have a showdown between Kenobi and Maul.
Right.
So they have to stay separated, which kind of makes Kenobi feel like a bad way to carry on that aspect of the storyline. So I would love to see some other sort of series set around that, though, maybe focusing on Lando. Maybe why not get a Lando series?
Yeah, no, we said this before. I mean, Solo set up a great world that I'd love to dive into. I don't need a Solo 2. I don't care what happens on him. I want to know about the rest of it.
Yeah. I would love to see a series based on Kira.
Yeah. She's a very intriguing character.
Yeah. So if they could bring Donald Glover back, if they could bring in Emilia Clarke, I don't know. I'd love that. But anyway, I think that we are going to get something about another live action series, probably for Disney Plus.
Okay.
And then finally, we're going to get something about Resistance season two.
Yeah, I mean, that's their, well, it seems like it's their forgotten child now they have Disney Plus. You know, it seems like we're putting all our efforts into The Mandalorian and everything else we're doing on Disney Plus, and Resistance feels like it's going to get lost.
Yeah, but there's still that kid audience that all of the announcements we've gotten so far hasn't hit.
Oh, I hope they continue it. I really do. It's just, it feels like they're leaving it out of all the discussions, and the fans are leaving it out of the discussions too.
The fans are definitely leaving out it out of the discussions. Lucasfilm, it seems like it's they're leaving it out of the discussions, but really they're not discussing much. They're discussing episode 9 and The Mandalorian, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And we are discussing 5 or 6 other things, but Lucasfilm isn't.
No. And why is that?
I don't know. Do you think they're playing the cards too close to the chest, or do you think that this is a good move?
I don't know. See, I mean, we have been hinting around about this for the last 15, 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I think they are being very cautious. I think they are gun shy that they're going to get slapped again. You know, we talked about Solo not performing as well as they wanted it to. We talked about Resistance maybe not performing as well as they wanted it to. And then the blowback from episode 8. They haven't had a real win lately, even though box office numbers are still pretty good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I almost feel like they were in a no-win scenario. You know, they are not in a position where they can announce something and have everybody just go, oh, my God, I can't wait, like Marvel can. You know, Marvel makes an announcement about, you know, what kind of toast they're having or what kind of jam they're putting on their toast in the morning. And it's like, oh, my God, that's amazing. I can't wait for that one.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lucasfilm comes out with what should be a good thing. And all of a sudden there's, you know, 4 or 5 different opinions on why it's not. And then the internet erupts into, you know, Discord. And I think they're purposely not giving us much, because if you don't give us a lot of rope, we can't really hang them.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know, though. I think people are winding their own ropes on the internet, though. That's the thing.
True.
So,
true.
You know, the Marvel analogy, people use that quite a bit. They use it with Star Wars. They use it with DC. They use it with other franchises that they're trying to get their own universes up and running. Marvel. So the equivalent in Star Wars of what Marvel did would be to have a Luke Skywalker movie, and to have a Rey movie, and to have a Finn movie, and have all of these independent movies, and then have them be successful, and then have a big movie where they all meet up.
Right.
Because that's basically what Marvel did. They got you excited about individual stories. Star Wars has never been about that. So we are never going to see the Marvel model with Star Wars, because it's just, it's a different sort of thing. You don't have that big meetup that culminates in, because really that's what made Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame epic, right? Was the fact that there are all of these different superheroes. We don't see crossovers in movies. It's just not done.
Right.
And so that's what made that such a big deal. So that's part of it. And keep in mind, Marvel had some stinkers early on too. So that's,
yeah, I suppose
that's the first part. And the second part is, I think that they're, when they play things too close to the chest, it leaves room to fill in the blanks on our own. For example, we got word that George Lucas had a story treatment, a basic outline for what he wanted to do with the trilogy. He sold it to Disney. Disney didn't like certain aspects of it, such as the fact that the protagonists were children. So like Rey and Finn, but not in their early 20s, but like in their mid-teens.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided that wasn't the way they wanted to go. So they scrapped that part of it. I agree with that move. But it was reported so tangentially that people took it and started saying, oh, George Lucas had the movie set up the way he wanted to make it. Disney bought Lucasfilm out and said, oh, we're throwing the whole thing in the trash.
Yeah, right.
Well, but
you know, paint the worst possible picture for it, and that's not really what happened.
That's really not what happened. But Lucasfilm never went in and corrected anybody, which, to be fair, is kind of standard corporate policy, right? Let the internet do what the internet's going to do. If you're going to spend all your time chasing the tail of the internet, you're going to run in circles all day long. So it's best to just not play that game. I get it, to an extent. Then, episode 8. There was an overall, and we still have this discussion in Discord from time to time. There was an overall plan for what the trilogy is going to be at a zoomed out level. Okay? It was mapped out. In fact, my understanding, as we're hearing it now, is it was relatively close to what Lucas wanted done. I can't talk about certain things in episode 9, but these are things that Lucas was interested in doing from day one. But a comment was made in episode 8, which, again, different director. So right there, oh, well, Abrams did his thing and walked away and let someone else take over. Rian Johnson said, well, they're not making me do anything in particular with episode 8. There are no particular milestones I have to hit. I've kind of got free rein to do what I want. Mm-hmm. So people took that and said, oh, there's no plan.
Right.
Well, that's not actually true. There is an overall plan. It's just they gave Rian Johnson a lot of freedom. And I don't think they just said, hey, Rian, go make a movie and bring it back to us when it's done. And, right. You know, we'll see what we think. Come on.
Yeah.
They were directly involved with it from day one. He presented what he wanted to, and, you know, multiple people wrote scripts for it. Wasn't Kasdan one of the writers?
I think so.
Okay. So, you know, these are not people who are new to Star Wars, right? I think that people are, because Lucasfilm is giving us so little about what's going on, they're leaving us to fill in the blanks. And the Star Wars fans are too passionate to not fill in the blanks. And we have a radically different situation now than we did for the first 6 movies. We've got different people running it. The creator of the series is not involved on a day-to-day basis. The creator of the series, who is also kind of a control freak. And rightfully so. That's not a judgment call. He made all this stuff. It's his right to be a control freak while he's involved. But he stepped away. Other people are running it. We have different directors for each of the movies. We have different writers. You know, things are in a state of flux. And so fans need some reassurance about the fact that there is a plan. And I don't think it's giving away too much to say that, you know, hey, there was a plan overall. We're giving Rian some freedom to do what he wants, but we are still heading in the path that we intended from day one, et cetera, et cetera. We need to hear those things. And then we got the Solo thing with, I keep forgetting the names of the two directors who worked on the Lego movie. They were removed from the film and they brought Ron Howard in. That looked bad. It was a good move. And I liked the Solo movie.
But yeah, I
it
do too.
Looked like,
you're right. The thought process was, oh my God, they're changing directors this late in the game.
Yeah.
And the cost overruns from all the reshoots. And yeah, it just, you know,
it made it look like the clowns were running the circus. Yeah. Like who's steering the boat here? What's going on? So it looked like Lucasfilm wasn't adequately in control of their property and it made people lose faith. And the lackluster box office, from what I feel is an entirely different reason, reinforced that perspective. So I think Lucasfilm is really doing themselves a disservice by not being a little bit more open with, not the content, but about some of the decision making, you know? That's my opinion. I don't know. Yeah. Do you agree? Do you think that, and to what extent should they be telling us stuff?
I don't know. I mean, you know, like I said before, I think they're not giving us a lot of details now because they're nervous. The more they give us, the more we're going to pick it apart and go down different paths. And, you know, like you said, I mean, how much of what you just said was fans taking things out of context or taking them to the worst possible explanation of what happened. And, you know, maybe their point of view now is if we don't give them stuff, they can't do that.
Oh, we're going to do it anyway.
Right.
We'll just make up our own stuff to tear apart, which is exactly what's been going on.
Yeah.
I mean, Old Republic movie trilogy coming, Lou, if you haven't heard. Lucasfilm doesn't know it, but we fans do.
We do, yeah. And, you know, I think it's their damned if they do, their damned if they don't.
Yeah.
It's sad, but that's kind of the prospect we're in right now.
So which do you think is a safer move for them?
I don't think there is one. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm kind of flashing back to War Games where, you know, the only way to win is not to play, right? Wasn't that something like the quote they had in the movie?
But to not play means no more Star Wars content.
Right, right. So they can't do that. I would rather see them be upfront with us about what they're going to give us and at least tell us a direction so we know there is a plan. Even if they don't know all the details of the plan.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, here's my perspective on the timeline here. We got some stuff at Celebration, but I don't think it was anything. Like, we knew The Mandalorian was coming, right? And we know Episode 9's coming, mm-hmm. And yeah, we got a teaser and stuff. But like, everything they announced, it was stuff that we were already expecting. There weren't really surprises, unless I'm forgetting something.
No.
We've got D23... And then boom, The Mandalorian gets released and Episode 9 gets released. And then we have 75% of a year before we get to the next Celebration. As far as fans are concerned, that's a long time. And we've had a year and a half since the last theatrical release. And the only thing we've gotten since then otherwise was Resistance. So, I think that it's.
I mean, if they're critical. Going to lay out a roadmap for us, I think D23 is the place to do it.
I agree. I mean, this is, you know, it's all on the line here. I think that the confidence in the fans going forward is going to be defined by how they handle D23. And again, they pulled out of San Diego Comic-Con, so they lost that too. So really, they got to step up to the plate. D23, they've got to come out swinging. And they've got to hit one of these balls and get on the base.
Yeah.
See, I did the sports thing.
You did get it right.
Yeah. Okay, good. Just check it.
Get the ball, get on the base. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hit that ball and score a touchdown.
It goes counterclockwise around the bases, right?
Yeah, no.
Counterclockwise? It doesn't go first base is off to the right, isn't it?
I got that backwards myself. Yes, Lou. You're right, Chuck. I'm sorry, Lou. Eric. I'm sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just schooled Lou on baseball. Look at that.
Wow.
I played a little league badly, but I played it. Okay. So, yeah, they've got to come out swinging for D23. They have to, I mean, really, they've got to pull a Marvel Phase 4 sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, give us a roadmap. Do something for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we turned no news into a show, so... I think we're good. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you have anything else you'd like to, you know, let us know, or your thoughts on what Disney should or shouldn't do with D23, you know, send us an email, hit us up on Discord. We'd love to hear from you on that. The music you hear on this is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller. At this point, we're going to close the blast doors and come back at you in about a week.